This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
We have a very special guest today that we have teased this up for a pretty long time coming. This is our first true celebrity interview. We have David Meltzer on the show. David, it's so good to see you.
So nice to be here. Thank you for including me. And I am honored to be called a celebrity. I always tell people I'm just you famous. And I got that from Jamie Foxx when he was in a movie we were working on, Any Given Sunday. It was his first dramatic role. And I was blessed to go to the after party of the premiere with him. And we were in line. And when I got up to the door, the bouncer looked at him and he's like, "Hey, what's your name?" He said, "I'm Jamie Foxx." And I started walking in with Jamie and like, no, just you. And so now I have reached the just you famous stage where I can get into parties, but they leave my wife at the door. So we have a lot of things.
Oh, goodness. Well, David, on that note, a lot of our listeners don't actually know a lot about you. We have talked about you, as Alex said, but why don't you give us a little bit about your story and how you got into podcasting, and we can get into it after that.
Sure. Well, you know, my journey as a speaker, author, entrepreneur, investor, on a mission to empower over a billion people to be happy, I developed three expertise over the last 35 years: how to make a lot of money, how to help a lot of people, and how to have a lot of fun. And that's my recipe for happiness, because I've never met anyone who makes a lot of money and lives in abundance and has and helps a lot of people, and well as can have the perspective of fun, even though they still get kicked in the face like everybody else 8 times a day. And so my journey in that mission started in a world that I call a world of not enough. I was a victim. My mom was a single mom with 6 kids and no money. She taught second grade, packed my dinner in a paper bag, drove us around as she filled greeting card stands at convenience stores just so we could eat. She instilled love and powerful education into us, but nonetheless, we lived in that world where the only dis-ease was caused by financial insecurity, and that led to a variety of insecurities or victimization, or what I call the world of not enough, where everything happens to you and you're constantly comparing yourself to others by your identity, which is based off of your bank account. And so for me, unlike my siblings, I didn't really buy into the academic side. Although I got straight A's, actually I lied. I got 1 B, which put me behind almost all of my relatives, let alone my siblings for sure, who went to Harvard, Penn, Columbia, graduated summa cum laude from those institutions. I am proudly the only one ever to get a B in high school in my family. But moreover, I am more proud that I'm the only one in my entire family ever to play college football. And to that end, I was an under average college football player, but nonetheless a college football player, which is how I stood out and learned to enjoy what I call the consistent everyday, persistent without quit, pursuit of my own potential, even in areas where my basement was lower than other people's in the realm that I was playing in. But nonetheless, the desire that I had to be the best that I could be, to must be what I could be, provided me a delta that at least made me competitive in things I wasn't even good at. But once I went to law school and learned some skills and saw the knowledge of who and what and combined it with the desire to create that delta with something I actually genetically and energetically was aligned to be good at, I was able to start making money. In fact, when I got out of law school, despite my mom telling me the internet was a fad and I should be a real lawyer, I got involved in 1992 in the internet, and I made my first $1 million 9 months out of law school in the internet. My first exit was in 1995 for $3.4 billion with West Publishing. We merged with Thomson Reuters. By 1999, not only was I a multimillionaire, I was running Samsung's phone division, the world's first convergence device, and that later was known as a smartphone. It was a Windows device, so I was blessed to work with Gates and Googs and the guys at Microsoft, and it didn't quite make it because they said the phone was too big and too expensive, which I find ironic. It was really just too early, not too big or too expensive. But moreover, I was also married to my dream girl, who I met in the fourth grade, who hated me until I was in my late 20s because I had asked her through a friend to go study at sixth grade camp. She said no. So from like every great 12-year-old, I decided the great solution to being rejected was to throw an egg at her. And here I was in 1999, 31 years old, multimillionaire, running one of the most powerful phone businesses in the world, married to my dream girl. And I moved into a world called Just Enough. And it's a really lonely world, the world of Just Enough. It's buying things to be happy, buying things you don't need to be happy, different things to be happy, more things to be happy, buying things to be happy to impress people you don't even like. And it's a very empty world of just enough for me. And I had some lessons to learn. I was running now the most notable sports agency in the world called Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. They made the movie Jerry Maguire about our firm, and Warren Moon, the Hall of Fame quarterback, and I were partners there. And we later spun off a global sports marketing company that was extremely successful, which just added to the ego and added to the loneliness and added to the glamour I stuck and added to the numbing of that pain through drugs and alcohol and narcissism and all of the different lessons that I had to finally learn. And thank goodness I married the right person. Thank goodness she forgave me for throwing the egg, but even more important, thank goodness she forgave me for surrounding myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas and acting on those. And so one miraculous day, my wife decided to leave me and tell me to take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. And my initial reaction was the same that I had to my mom, my dad, and my best friend, that I hated them. And as I sat on my bed thinking about how I was going to steal my wife's joy, take her money, like every great lawyer, I realized at that moment, looking over actually in my closet, seeing a jacket that my father had given me when I was 30 with no pockets, which was the reason I told him I hated him, because he told me money doesn't buy love or happiness, that I was lost, and that he didn't want me to make the same mistakes he had made, that I was just like him. I remember telling him at that moment, you are a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, an overseller, a back-end seller, and I hate you. And as I sat on my bed, taking stock in who I was and what I wanted to become, I realized that I hated myself, that I was a liar, a cheater, manipulator, overseller, and a back-end seller. And that's the day that I left the world of just enough, and I started to live in a world of more than enough. I shifted the paradigm to faith that there's more than enough of everything for everyone. I just had to figure out what I was doing to interfere with it. So I hung on to the four values my mom taught me at a very young age: gratitude to find the light, the love, and the lessons in all my mistakes, forgiveness to put me at ease for all the mistakes I'd made, accountability to learn from what I was responsible for, attracted, and participated in the perception of, and then finally to understand how to communicate not only with other people via the unified system of thought that we all belong to, but more importantly, to be inspired in spirit, to no longer want to live in the world of just enough wanting more, or not enough wanting more, more happiness, more health, more wealth, more worthiness. Instead, I live in a world of I am. I am happy, healthy, wealthy, and worthy. I spend my life figuring out what I'm doing to interfere with it. And over that 17-year journey, I've been able, through not only losing everything over $100 million, but to make it back in the right way. And now, in the last 7 years, I write books, I speak, I coach, I have podcasts, movies, TV shows, all with one intention: free Friday trainings. I go live more than anyone to empower others to be happy, to teach them how to live in abundance. There's an infinite loop of giving, an infinite system unified with thought of more than enough of everything for everyone to come through you, so you can give, to be given more, to receive more, and even feel faithful in asking for more. So you can give more than more, and give given more than more, receive more than more, and even ask for more than more than more, instead of the awful zero sum game that I lived in. And I just love sharing my story. Appreciate the opportunity to do so here.
Oh, it's wonderful. Annie and I have both been just so inspired by your content and, you know, your podcasts, your books. And I know when I was reading your book last summer, you talk a lot about how important meditation has been in this journey for you, and how when you first were told about meditation, you thought, oh, that's just something hippies do. But it's really transformed your life. And most people that have gotten to any incredible level of success have also realized that. But could you tell us a little bit about how you came to understand that importance?
I got tricked into meditation because I was an anti-meditator. And I remember flying and meeting a lady who told me that I was lost and that I was blocking my light and I needed to learn meditation. And I told her people that meditate are high, sick, and broke, sitting on their mom's couch, dreaming of meditating. I've done everything and made everything in my life. And there's no reason to meditate, that I didn't have time to meditate. And she explained to me the universe and frequency and vibration and said, through meditation, you can elevate your vibration and you can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. And so through meditation, you can elevate your awareness. And she offered, you know, told me specifically, you know, the earth vibrates the slowest, then plants, animals, humans, and then sound, and then light, and then thought. And she said, you know what vibrates the fastest, David? I said, no, she said, the truth. And if we elevate our awareness and elevate our frequency and elevate our vibration by surrounding ourselves with the right people and the right idea and via meditation to transform that information that we receive into the real world, we can raise our awareness and get all the cheat codes and the ease of life instead of the dis-ease. In fact, I can help you identify the interference, F-E-A-R, or the dis-ease in your life. And so then she offered for me to go to a meditation seminar workshop to learn quantum healing and theta meditation. And I, of course, told her, not a chance. What a waste of time. And then she tricked me into meditating by saying, that's too bad. I said, why is it too bad? She said, because I could teach you to raise your awareness when to buy or sell. And at that time, that's what incentivized me. I'm like, there's an ROI that I'm interested in. I don't really care about meditation. Yeah. I care about knowing when to buy or sell, because if I know when to buy or sell, I will know how to make even more money. And so I got tricked into meditation, but here I am 17 years later. I have meditated 20 minutes a day, every day. And it started slowly for me. I think it's really important because I teach a lot of people and coach a lot of people, and they'll ask me about meditation. Like, I just can't do it, David. I don't get it. And I said, hold on. Let me explain how it works. Just practice sitting still first. Do whatever you want. Sit still. Watch TV. Listen to a podcast. But just try to sit still for 20 minutes. And that took me a couple of years, by the way. And then I said, when you get to that point, just try to be quiet for 20 minutes. And that again took a couple of years for me to truly understand how to be quiet. Then I practiced over about 15 years how to be aware. And I tell you 15 years because people think that's a long time in the linear man-made constructive time, but it's really not. And just sitting still was helpful for 2 years. Just being quiet for 2 years was helpful for 20 minutes a day, every day, because 2 minutes a day is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. So 20 minutes a day is worth more than 20 hours on a Saturday. And so I get the acceleration and the compounding of the outcomes that I want, which physics, metaphysics, and quantum physics confirm for you in applied mathematics, that this is how time works and this is how productivity works in an energetic sense. So I use what I knew of time and physics in order to facilitate an aggregate accelerated exponential way of meditation. But once the awareness came, then I could transcend the information. And people talk about transcendental meditation. What it really is taking the information at a higher level of vibration or frequency and utilize it in the pragmatic man-made constructs of time, space, and money. And once I was able to do that, everything became easy, and I identified the dis-easy, physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional dis-easy. And it's amazing. I am at dis-ease every day, just like you two and everybody else you know. It's just I've learned to spend minutes and moments in that interference, not days, not weeks, not months, and not years, just minutes and moments in my reaction to fear, with a need to be right or offended or separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, you know, all those things you waste all your time, emotion, and money on. I've learned just to spend minutes and moments in that disease. So I waste less time, emotion, and money than ever before. And I get more of the omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing the rest of the time.
So it sounds like, so Alex and I are based our show on aha moments and like the things that came to people, whether it be through an experience or, you know, in your case, it came through multiple areas. And so you sounds like you've had a lot of aha moments along your path, and they seem to be getting closer together if you kind of remove that construct of time. And I'm really fascinated that you've focused on kind of, it sounds like the mind shift and looking at being, you know, sitting in a place of gratitude instead of a place of want and worry. And so how do you think that practice for yourself or that shift, other people can put that into play for their life?
Well, there's two things that we have to work on. One is wisdom. And so we want to learn as much as we can from mistakes, setbacks, failures, void, shortages, obstacles, successes, defining moments, historical relevances that exist. You can see that guy here on my right shoulder over here. That's why I study him, because he's very wise. And I'm trying to absorb as much wisdom as I can, because that's one of the components that shorten that distance of resistance that puts those aha moments closer and closer together. But the second one, and that was always in my life, because my mom always believed in seeking wisdom and being educated and expanding and accelerating our awareness. But it wasn't until I understood faith in the best option sense for me, whether it's religious, spiritual, philosophical, or theoretical. My faith is the second component that allows me to shorten that distance resistance. And my faith is based off of something simple. It's a best option based off of all the research I've done in physics and in theories, in philosophies. I've read so many philosophers, in religions. I've read every one of them, and also spirituality. I study still the Course in Miracles every single day for 9 straight years. And they all tell me that there's a best option in faith. And it basically is this: that there is something bigger than us, mm-hmm. something that's omniscient and all powerful. And it loves us, it protects us, and it promotes us more than our mom. And with this simple faith and through gratitude to find the love and lessons, the wisdom and forgiveness to accept the mistakes that we've made, and accountability to learn those lessons ourselves, to take control of those lessons, to let us live more of man-made constructive time, inspired, in spirit, provide us that omniscient all-knowing, is an incredible thing. And so when I combined my passion for wisdom and faith, it allows me to shorten that distance between the aha moments, to shorten the distance of resistance that exists in everyone's life, to shorten the amount of time I spend in disease. So many people say, I'm 56 years old. Dave, I can't even keep up with your Instagram. You're everywhere. You're doing everything. How do you have so much energy? That's amazing. I said, no, it's not, because everyone has the same amount of energy. I just have figured out how to stop interfering with it. I spend minutes and moments of my day interfering with that omniscient power, the power that Bob Proctor, my mentor, told me years ago, that David, do you realize in your pinky, you have enough energy to light up all of Manhattan? What are you doing to interfere with that? That's what I want you to focus in on.
Wow, I love that. One of the things that you talk about a lot on your podcast and your book is that, you know, the being protected, you're being protected, you're being promoted. And that came as such a great lesson to me in this past year of certain situations that happened that I just didn't understand why they were happening. But having that mindset for me really made a huge difference. And I try and remember that all the time. If things don't go the way that you want them to go, there's a reason for it, right? And I think, you know, our culture is so much, you know, set that, you know, things are happening to you and not for you. And when you can understand that, you know, that higher power that you're talking about, it's like life just kind of starts to unfold the way that it's supposed mm-hmm. to.
Yeah. And it's amazing how many illusions we create about when things appear rejection instead of protection. And it's so easy to remember that we give meaning to everything we see. And I will tell you, one of the benefits of great basements in our lives, and my basement had a basement, you can imagine what it's like to almost lose your wife, but lose over $100 million and tell your mom that you lost her house when the only reason you wanted to be rich was to buy her the goddamn house in the first place. To be able to look back and say, wow, my greatest fear in life, my greatest tragedy in my career has absolutely been one of the greatest protections, promotions, and loves of my life. Because if that did not occur, I would be at the very least divorced, but most likely dead. And the humbling lesson of losing everything has raised my awareness to not only help myself, but to empower me to help millions of people in my lifetime to be protected, promoted, and loved, and to spread the same to everyone else. And it's so nice now, being on this journey for a while, to see some outcomes, because a lot of times our good behaviors only create good progress and we don't get to see the good outcomes. And if we stick to it long enough and we do it every day and we don't quit and we pursue the best that we can by bringing the best out of others and doing our best ourselves and learning as many lessons, sooner or later, life will tell you all its secrets. And it's those secrets that put us at ease.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You talk about something that Alex had shared with me, and I think I've seen you talk about before, and it's the importance of being interested as opposed to being interesting. And I think that you are a student of people and of your surroundings and of, again, the vibrations that are coming into you. So why don't you tell us about why, you know, what that means to be interested instead of being interesting?
Yeah, in the context of seeking what you want, being more interested, finding the light, the love, and the lessons in everybody, every situation, everything, it only creates this ability to identify how abundant and blessed we are. If we seek the wrong things, and a lot of people in their life, they seek what's missing, what they don't have, what other people have, what other people want, and then they get so resentful and angry and guilty, and they live in blame, shame, and justification when they get what they're missing, more of what they're missing, more of what they don't want, or they get what other people want for them, or they end up in a situation that other people they thought were in. They start to realize that being interesting does nothing. Standing in front of cars that you don't own, pretending like your life is perfect, living in this is what I want people to think I am instead of living in I am. Every religion, philosophy, theory has some sort of I am. In Judaism, it's Adonai. In Rastafarianism, it's I and I. In every spirituality, it's I am. It's the Moses code. It is a declaration that I'm part and parcel of everything, a unified, abundant, infinite system thought that we all belong to. And when we realize that we have an infinite amount of things to learn, then we realize the best thing we can do is to be interested, to stop the energy suck between I am and this is what I want people to think I am. If you're interesting, you are living in the world of this is what I want people to think I am. If you're interested, you're living in I am, and you'll be able to figure out what you're doing to interfere with what I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got one last question for you, David. I know you're a busy guy and we're so just grateful
active.
For your time
busy
today.
Busy is unavailable.
You're not busy, of course not.
You want to go ask that kid that's high on their mom's couch. They're super busy.
One of the other many things that I've learned from you is the importance of asking for help, and we've shared that a lot with our audience in this past episodes, and why that is so important, because when you ask for help, the person that helps you, they become invested in your success, and it's like you start building this kind of army of people around you that just really want to help. And I think what you've built through your community has been able to elevate your mission and share all the things that you're still only one person, but through this community, you've built that army that they're out there all the time helping each other. And just wanted to, as final thoughts, get your perspective on the community and how important that has been.
Yeah, my whole mission is to build a community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. And the things that I'm trying to teach people is not only is giving to receive true, but there's tools that you need in order to effectuate it. And the tools that you need are two. One, to be aware of all that you're given. You see, every religious, philosophical, theoretical, and spiritual text that I've read says the more you give, the more you're given. And we are forgetting to teach people to raise your awareness through gratitude and forgiveness of all that you're given. And even worse, that if we don't receive what we're given, if we're too shameful and guilty, or we don't feel worthy of what we're given, or even worse, we don't feel confident in the world of more than enough that we ask for more, we end up in a zero-sum game. And so many people, they give 100% and they're not aware of all they're given because they're not looking for it. And they're looking for what they don't have or what's missing. Or even worse, they don't feel worthy when people are offering to help them. And then they give 100% and they end up with 98% back. So their new 100% is 98%. And pretty soon that ends up as zero. It's a zero sum game. So what I teach people in a community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other, which is, by the way, a community for a lifetime that will buy from you and sell for you. For a lifetime, nothing will make you more successful, whether it's your ideas, your product, service, solution, or brand. But live in the world of more than enough, where you give all you have, you're given more, you receive more, you ask for more than more, so now you can give more than more. And then you're given more than more, and then you receive more than more than more, and then you ask for more than more than more. You see where you end up at 80? Instead of at nothing in a zero-sum game, you end up with more than enough. Of everything for everyone, overflowing with love and joy and kindness and even money. Live in the world of more than enough of everything. Learn that I am. Let's figure out what you're doing to interfere with it. I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? And I promise you, you will make a lot of money. You will help a lot of people. And you will have a lot of fun. I want to offer everyone in your community my book. I will sign it. I will send it to them. I'll pay for the book. I'll pay for shipping. If they just email me, david@dmeltzer.com, everyone in your community, I would be more than blessed to help empower them to live in abundance. So please email me, david@dmeltzer.com.
Oh, that's great. And please, everybody, do it, because it's a great book. I think you have connected the dots of your lifetime in a way that I don't think I've quite seen anybody do. And it's amazing to hear, you know, just how that your progression and what you've learned, you've been able to translate it and communicate it so effectively. But thank you so very much for being here, David. It's such an honor to have you. And
yes,
we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Your proof of exponential love in the world. Two for the price of one. Thank you both. And Alex. I look forward to doing more.
Thank you, David.
Thank you so much. Bye. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Bye. Bye-bye.